Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
It is May 30th, 2021. Been gone for a couple weeks. A lot of stuff has happened. A lot of stuff has come out. Have you watched anything good lately?
I finally got a chance to watch Jupiter's Legacy. I know that came out a little bit ago, but I finally had time to sit down and watch it.
I don't think I'm familiar with that one. Which is that?
Yeah, it's from the Mark Millar verse.
Of Heroes. Yeah.
It's on Netflix. 8 episodes in the first season. It's pretty good. I think if I hadn't just have watched Invincible, I think I probably would have enjoyed this better. You know, it's like coming right off the heels of Invincible, which it's like that's going to be kind of hard to top, because I don't think there's nothing in it that was bad. It definitely looks like a Netflix show, in a lot of respects, but that doesn't necessarily hurt it. It's more the content and the story that they tried to tell. And I think the execution of the story they were trying to tech was better on Invincible than it was in Jupiter's Legacy. But this is, however, making me more interested in the comics though of it. So I'll probably have to go pick those up and add that to my pull list, and check out those graphic novels, because the world that they created is pretty interesting. As I think its release proximity to some of the other stuff that we've gotten kind of hurt it.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, in general, I tend to like Mark Millar's stuff. I haven't read a ton of his stuff, but I liked what I've read, and you know, properties like Kick-Ass and stuff like that. You know,
I love Kick-Ass. That's my favorite of his.
Yeah. So I'll check it out eventually. Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, I saw a bunch of stuff, but probably the thing which is most noteworthy, which isn't a movie, but it was the Rise of the Resistance ride at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in Disney World, which is the new Star Wars ride, where I guess the premise is basically like, you are part of the resistance, you know, around like episode 7 era, you know, and probably in between episodes 8 and 9, if you're thinking about it. Okay. And you are like captured by the First Order. I can't even remember what they're called since it's the same as the Imperials, whatever. Yep. You're captured by the First Order and taken onto like a Star Destroyer or something like that. And now you need to basically escape, but also like do something, you know, like sabotage the ship or something like that. But it's like one of those trackless rides where it's like, think about like Mr. Toad, but like instead of being on a track, your car is like roaming free in a sense, you know?
Okay.
The ride itself is cool and everything, but like when you're going through the line and everything, I mean, it's all great. And you get to the area, which I'm assuming is normally like their holding area where they're like, you know, fill in all the available space and we're going to, you know, basically show you something which will give us time to get the next group through or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. They weren't like really doing that here, but you walk in and it's like you're in a Star Destroyer hangar bay, like from the beginning of Return of the Jedi or something like that.
Okay.
And it's like filled with stormtroopers, you know, all in line and everything, full size stormtroopers. And then you see like the massive like hangar bay window where all the ships like fly in and out. Mm-hmm. And you see like TIE fighters and stuff like flying in space. And I like walked in and it like literally took my breath away. I was like, oh my God, because I was not expecting that at all. And it's like you're walking into the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was worth it just for that. But
man, I got to get back there.
Yeah,
I was supposed to do it last year, and then everything changed.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
Well, yeah, now's the time, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah. So that was cool. And that was like, it, because there's so many people wanting to go on that ride, like you can't just wait in line for it. You got to like go on the app and like reserve your spot.
Okay.
And they open it up at like 7 a.m. every day and it's gone.
Of course they do.
You know, like 2 seconds, literally, mm-hmm. you know. So we tried at 7 a.m. and we didn't get it. But then at 1 p.m. they like open up like backup slots or whatever.
Okay.
And we actually got that. So we finally got on at like 6 o'clock at night or something like that. We missed seeing Fast and Furious on the big screen, but you know, whatever. That one's not that great.
You have more opportunities to do that than your ride.
That's true, exactly. So yes, and that one that's the fourth one, not really that great. So you know, Rise of the Resistance better than Fast and Furious 4. So. There you go. That's my review.
I haven't been on that ride yet, but I can pretty much guarantee that that is also correct.
Yes. So, all right. Well, should we get into the news for this week?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I guess the big news is that Amazon bought MGM
mm-hmm.
for $8.45 billion, which is the second most expensive thing Amazon has ever bought after Whole Foods. So, you know, that means now they own Rocky, Stargate, mm-hmm. the big one being Bond. But Bond is also the trickiest one because it's co-owned by the Broccoli family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they control a lot of stuff. It sounds like the Broccolis have a great deal. Like, MGM can produce Bond movies, they can pay for them entirely, and then the Broccolis pretty much have final say on everything from casting to distribution and everything else, and then they split the profits 50-50.
Wow.
So the Broccolis don't have to put in any money, mm-hmm. they get full say, and they get half of the profits.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good deal.
That's a great deal for them.
Yeah.
There's just so many questions about this. It's like, what are they planning? What do they have planned, you know, with all these properties now? Especially considering that, like, you know, for example, you mentioned, you know, Bond and Rocky. Well, there's already, you know, a Rocky movie that's kind of waiting to, you know, that's about to you know, begin production in some form or fashion, right? Because we already know about Creed 3. There's a Bond movie waiting to be released. So that kind of gives the questions like, are we going to get, you know, four more Creeds like we have? Are we going to match those? Are we going to do a different version of the, are we going to do, you know, more Rocky universe type of things? Are we going to do a Drago movie? I mean, because he was introduced in Creed 2. Are we going to, like, what's the future for Bond now that it is under, you know, basically new ownership? Are they going to do some of the things that they've been hinting at and speculating for years as far as changing the character, changing the, you know, the race or the gender of the character, that type of thing. What does this mean for the MGM Grand in Vegas? Like, is there going to be like an Amazon Prime depot in the middle of it? Is there going to be some sort of, you know, thing that you could do there? You know, it's just, it's a lot of questions that this brings up.
Yeah, as far as Bond is concerned, they've said, you know, the family has been like insistent that they release these movies in theaters. That's why when MGM tried to sell No Time to Die to Apple for like $600 million, it didn't happen because the family was like, you got to put it in theaters first. Yeah. So, and they've come out and said, like, we still plan on that being the case, you know.
Okay.
The question is, what is that going to mean for like Creed and stuff like that? Like, will that be in theaters? Will that be straight to Amazon? Who knows, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing about Bond is like the family is also like very protective of like offshoots and stuff. And mm-hmm. like they, you know, I mean, for a property like that, you would think that like spinoffs, TV shows, whatever would be like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And apparently they don't want any of that. So, you know, that's their biggest property by far. And still, they might not be able to really do anything new with it. It might just stay as is. I think that Rocky is kind of another deal altogether. I mean, we've already heard that, like, you know, Sylvester Stallone wants to do a prequel TV show and stuff like that. And that seems like it's a perfect fit for Amazon. You know, I mean, that's like right up their alley.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how these things happen. And also, like, who is controlling this stuff, too? Like, there's some question as to, like, which executives will, you know, take over control of this stuff. Like, are they going to keep their Amazon guys, or are they going to go with the MGM guys, or what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, nobody really knows at this point. The other thing that it means, of course, is that they get the rights to all those older properties too, like, you know, Stargate and everything. So I think it's pretty reasonable to say, like, eventually all the Bond movies will end up as just like staples on Amazon Prime, and all the, you know, Stargate shows and all that stuff. So who knows? I mean,
there'll probably be a new Stargate show.
There probably will be, right? I mean,
I mean, if Amazon needs its needs a show, right? That's the one that you do.
It seems to make sense. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Interesting stuff, but we shall see how it all plays out.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeff, if he has, you know, I mean, we know he has another eight bill. I mean, he could do some other things for us. You know.
Yeah.
You can. I should send him an email so he can, you know, wipe out that student debt for me.
And that would be nice, right?
Everybody else. That'd be great. I mean, he could easily do that and not blink. Like, he could do that and, like, buy another company. Like,
yeah.
Come on, Jeff.
All right. So there were a ton of trailers that dropped in the time that we were gone. First up, The Sparks Brothers, which is a new documentary by Edgar Wright, that's the guy's name.
Yes.
Yeah. did you watch this trailer?
I did. And I was remembering, I was like, oh, yeah, we talked about this earlier because you were excited about this group and them kind of getting their shine for a little bit. And it's just like, ah, yes, what could have happened to Hall & Oates if they didn't get super, super big, basically. Yep.
It's very strange. I mean, have you heard of them before or not?
Just very, very briefly. And I couldn't tell you any of their stuff. I think I've seen like a video of some of the things, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I had never heard of them at all. And, you know, like I recognized like one song during the documentary or whatever, but yeah, now I'm a huge fan. And cause I saw it when they played it at Sundance, earlier this year, and I can't wait to see it again. I think so far it's the best movie of the year that I've seen. And, you know, in preparation for this movie, I, you know, timed it out and whatever, and I they've got 25 albums, so 25 days before the release date, I started listening to an album a day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm like five albums in, and yeah, they're good.
Okay. Sure. That's an impressive catalog, too.
Yeah, I mean, 25 albums in 50 years, and everyone I've talked to, everyone who's seen the trailer, they're like, I don't know who these people are. How do I not know who they are, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, 25 albums, that's Prince level.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, but Edgar Wright, he, not to outdo himself, but he does, you know, he releases another trailer this week for Last Night in Soho, which comes out in October. Did you watch this?
Uh-huh, I did. Very appropriate that it's coming out in October. I was getting a bunch of Black Swan vibes from this.
Yeah, I can see that.
That intrigued me because I love Black Swan. I think the casting is very good for both of those roles, especially with our girl from Queen's Gambit.
Yeah.
So she's a rising star. So this looks interesting.
Yeah, I think it looks really cool. I can't wait to see it. So, man, two Edgar Wright movies in the span of a year. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Okay, so moving right along on these trailers, Infinite. This is the Antoine Fuqua movie starring Mark Wahlberg, which was supposed to come out in theaters in September. And they said, surprise, it'll be on Paramount Plus like in a couple weeks, June 10th. Did you watch the trailer for this?
I did. What'd you think? A little interesting, but at the same time, like there's something about it that seems very familiar. Like, we've seen something like this before.
Yeah.
Can't really quite put my finger on it, but it's probably what it is. It's just like, well, we've seen stuff like this before. Like, we've seen lots of things before. And, you know, because, like, you know, a phrase I like to say is, like, everybody runs each other's plays. So, so a lot of the things in there seem pretty tropey, and they seem like it's just a, you know, a repeat or a rehash of something else that we've seen before. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just something I noticed when I was watching the trailer. I was just like, this seems like I've seen this movie before, or seen something along these lines before.
Yeah, I agree that it is, you know, tropey. It definitely does have a vibe of, like, you know, whether you go back to Highlander or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But I also think it looks really cool. It seems like an interesting premise. You know, the action seems really good. So mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited to see this one. There is another big sci-fi movie which is coming out to a streaming service in the next month, and that's The Tomorrow War on Amazon Prime, starring Chris Pratt from the director of Lego Batman. Did you watch this trailer? Mm-hmm.
I did. Yeah. And like Infinite, I had a lot of similar thoughts. But it still looks cool. It's just that when I was watching it, I was just like, I've seen a movie like this before. That movie, like The Edge of Tomorrow, mixed in with a little bit of Interstellar aspects of it. It's like those two, like, kind of had a baby.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I'll definitely watch it, of course. You know, and for no other reason, because it's from the director of Lego Batman.
Yeah,
but
which is fantastic.
Yeah, but it did seem like it's kind of, this ground has been, you know, tread before or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the action stuff didn't look super duper great, you know. Yeah. So, I'm not super duper excited about this one, but I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, so another Amazon movie, Gunpowder Milkshake, which is a smaller one, but still. Did you see this trailer?
I did.
What did you think?
it looks fine. It looks cool. There's some cool stuff about it. But the first thing that I thought, though, is this is John Wick with women.
Uh-huh.
Like the one, and that's not a bad thing. I'm just, this is the first thought that comes to my head, especially like the scene where they're talking about, like, where, you know, she goes in to go, you know, get her ammo, but, like, it's disguised as a library. And, like, they're just like, oh, you need a Jane Austen, and you need a, like, you know, like, but it, and that's, it's a gun, right? It's very similar to the things they're doing in Wick. So it's just like, all right, cool. Well, this is that. I mean, that immediately kind of tells you what movie you're watching. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of Transporter in there. So I guess the theme of today is just like, a lot of these things, while they look cool, they look familiar.
Yeah. This trailer really worked for me. I thought it looked really cool. I like the cast. You know, Karen Gillan is great.
Well, yeah, no, the cast is great. And like her, Lena Headey and Carla Gugino and Angela Bassett, like that's a great cast.
Michelle Yeoh is in there too.
Oh yeah, the goat. So, so that alone is definitely going to make sure that it gets my attention. I will definitely see it. Again, the theme of today is just like, these, everything looks familiar in a lot of ways. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they actually give me, though.
Yeah. And the action in this, like, even though it's familiar, it seemed like it was really well done. You know, I like the look of it and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. No, over the action stuff that we've seen so far in these trailers, this has the best action.
Yeah. Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. All right. So shifting gears to the big screen, M. Night Shyamalan has a new movie coming out. Old. Now, we've seen a Super Bowl commercial for it, but they actually dropped a full trailer this week to put on Quiet Place 2, of course. So what did you think about this trailer?
I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that this is the M. Night Shyamalan redemption. I've said on this podcast that I've lost confidence and faith in that dude for what he did to Avatar: The Last Airbender, because that is unforgivable how what he did to that. So let's hope that this is this can start his for real comeback tour.
I think we're already in that. I mean, you know, certainly The Last Airbender was terrible. The one with the trees, there's the wind or whatever it was that was killing people. That was bad. You know, I mean, he made like a string of like really bad movies in there. But
exactly.
You know, The Visit, I thought, was pretty solid. Did you see that one?
His, I did not see The Visit. Because again, like after, like, I was kind of, I wanted to see, like, after he did Avatar Last Airbender, I was like, all right, well, let's see what this next one was. And I didn't like it. And then I didn't like the next one. I was like, you know what? Yeah. We're done.
I think The Visit is when he first teamed up with Jason Blum, you know?
Okay.
And that one is cool. I mean, it's funnier than his other movies. It's like a found footage movie, but the premise is basically like these kids go to visit their grandparents for the first time ever.
Okay.
And their grandparents are, you know, a little crazy, maybe a little, I don't know, who knows, supernatural.
They're crazy and eccentric, and we don't know what their story is.
Yeah, like, ooh, there's one scene.
Again, with
like,
the theme of today, where have we seen that before?
Yeah, but that one's good, and it's done with a lot of humor, and it works really well. And that to me is where Shyamalan was like, okay, I'm back. You know, after that he did Split, which was amazing, and then he did Glass, which was not as amazing, but I still think it's a pretty good movie, you know?
Okay.
So that being said, this trailer, I don't know. He will see. I will always give Shyamalan the benefit of the doubt, no matter what, because he made Unbreakable. But I don't know if this is working for me quite yet, but I'm definitely going to see it. So another movie which is coming out this summer is Jungle Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, after being delayed for like a year, based on the Disney World ride and everything. Starring The Rock and Emily Blunt. What did you think about this trailer?
I mean, it has my money and attention because it has The Rock and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Looks fun.
Yeah, I mean, I like the ride a lot, you know? So doing that kind of like embracing that vibe, that like corny joke vibe and everything for this, I think it's cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. Yeah.
And finally, the big one, Marvel, dropped a trailer for Eternals.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think about this?
It didn't do anything for me. The main thing is, it's like, so what could we possibly, like, what are we going to do with the Eternals, right? And like the joke on Twitter with them and this trailer is like, so, you know, like in the trailer, it's like, you know, we have not interfered until now. And it's just like, well, why now, right? There is no Thanos. There is no Chitauri army. There's no Malekith. There's no Hydra. There's all these events that have happened that the Avengers have had to kind of, you know, stop, that you could have intervened and helped with. Like, you didn't, and now you're here. So what could possibly be bigger than those things that we've already seen? It's a lot like, you know, the critique with Wonder Woman, like after Wonder Woman. It's like, what have you been doing outside of pining for Steve Trevor or Martian Manhunter? Why did you literally not do anything and then show up and talk to Bruce Wayne at the end of the Snyder Cut to say like, hey, I'm John Jones and I'm a Martian? It's just like, thanks, bud. We could have used your help. Like, you know, I don't know, with Doomsday, like maybe Superman wouldn't have been killed and we wouldn't have to go through all this other extra stuff. Like, what were you doing? Like, so that's kind of my take with the Eternals. Like, what have you guys been doing? Like, why should we care about you if you could have all this power to do stuff and help and you didn't?
Well, maybe now the threat is even bigger. I mean, that's how comics work, right?
It is, but also, like, this is the challenge for this phase of Marvel is trying to have something that is as threatening as Thanos was, because as of right now, where, you know, there is nothing that is a higher threat than Thanos, which is why I've appreciated the smaller stories that they've been telling, like with WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's because it's like, well, like, yeah, we've done the big stuff. Now we're scaling it down and focusing on character and all those other things. That's why those work, right? Now it's just like, I'm not sure, especially since we haven't gotten a movie from Marvel in a while. And, you know, prior to this movie coming out, we're going to have, you know, Black Widow and like, again, in another Loki series. So it's just like everything's been small. And now we have this. Now we're introducing big stuff again. It's like, are we really ready for big stuff? Do we want big stuff? Not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that there is another movie in between. There is Shang-Chi, right?
Comes yeah, first, also so. Also small.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they're going to like introduce like the new great big bad for, you know, the next team of Avengers, right now that team can't handle whatever's going on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously I'll see it and everything. I thought like visually it looked really cool. It seemed a lot better than most Marvel movies in terms of like not having that sort of generic cinematography. The thing that really stood out to me though was actually the poster, the credits for the poster.
Okay.
I know this is going to sound weird, but like the big thing which made me be like, oh man, this is number one for me now. It's edited by Dylan Tichner, who is the editor of Boogie Nights, Magnolia, There Will Be Blood, Unbreakable, and okay. You know, he's like one of
all your favorites, huh?
Yeah, one of the best in the game. Zero Dark Thirty. So you know, he's editing a Marvel movie. I'm like, yeah, you know, not to mention the fact that the director just won an Oscar for
yeah.
You know,
oh, they're going to ride that buzz
yeah.
to eternity.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I saw. Good job. Good job. And also her credits for the screenplay were really weird. Screenplay by Chloe Zhao and Chloe Zhao and someone else.
Yeah,
I guess that's just how things. I've never seen that credit before, but I guess that's how it works sometimes. So,
yeah, I mean, these days now they have to go out of their way to. Everybody has to go out of their way to let you know that they did something. It's super annoying.
Well, you know, they also get paid, right? So
No, I understand they get paid, but like at the same time, it's like you're going to get paid.
All right. So some more Marvel adjacent news, I guess. Mm-hmm. Well, two things. First off, Aaron Taylor Johnson has been cast as Kraven the Hunter in a new movie. I'm not really familiar with Kraven the Hunter. I mean, I see him all the time, and I think his costume looks ridiculous, but,
yeah, you know. He's a ridiculous character.
Okay. I don't know if this is good or bad. What do you think?
I don't care. And I feel bad for ATJ here, because I like him. I thought he was great in Kick-Ass. But it's like, you know, it's like, well, Sony, what are we doing here? Like, why are you, like... Where is Spider-Man, right? Like, because we have a Venom movie, we have a Venom sequel that's introducing Carnage, and you have Kraven the Hunter here, and, you know, these other, you know, people who are part of the Sinister Six, and there is no Spider-Man. Like, I don't care about Kraven the Hunter if he's not hunting Spider-Man. Who's he going to be hunting in this? Like, I don't want to see his origin story. I just want him to be there trying to catch Spider-Man, because that's what he does. I don't care. My other thought is like, is Elizabeth Olsen going to be in this as either his sister or his wife? because that's apparently like all he works with. But yeah, I don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for them because they've committed Spider-Man to the MCU, which means he's kind of off the table for all their other stuff, but they need to keep on making the other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just like every Spider-Man villain gets his own movie.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Well, all the more reason why the MCU should have used Miles Morales when they introduced Spider-Man. So that way Sony could do Peter Parker stuff. And then the MCU Spider-Man movies could have been Miles-centric and had Miles' villains.
Yeah, they could have. But then we wouldn't have gotten into the Spider-Verse.
That's true.
So, yeah. Well, over on the MCU, they are doing a new show. Okoye is getting her own show.
Mm-hmm.
An origin story, apparently.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. And also with this, I'm curious about this. It's like, well, is it just about her, or is it like about the rest of, is it her and the rest of the Dora Milaje? Because I think that would be a better show. Like if it, yeah. like doing a show about them. I mean, I'm here for that.
I mean, the other question is, like, is this the Ryan Coogler Wakanda show that they announced?
Yeah.
Who knows, right?
I don't know.
But, I mean, it could be. This was clearly, I think this came from her agent or whatever, saying, like,
okay,
look, I got her a role in Black Panther 2 and her own show on Disney+.
Disney+.
So, you know, it could be anything. It could be part of a larger thing. But it was really all about, like, she's in these, you know?
Yeah.
So that's that. Okay, so moving over to DC, Dwayne Johnson has been cast as Crypto in the League of Super Pets animated movie. And he's also going to be producing. So what do you think about this?
I mean, fine, whatever, DC. Did you ever watch, or have you ever watched any, like any second of Crypto the Superdog, the animated show?
I've seen a little bit of it. I wanted to see more, but I haven't seen as much as I'd, okay, I'd like.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they make it in the vein of that and they make it, you know, on par with that for kids, all the power to them.
I mean, I think they've already said it's going to definitely skew very young, you know?
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, then that's fine with me.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't they also doing one where it's like cars, but with like Batmobiles and stuff?
Yeah.
That I'm not too sure about.
Yeah, same. But this makes sense. And, you know, something else for The Rock to have fun with. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Speaking of DC animated properties geared towards kids, this is something that I am really looking forward to. In the next few weeks, up on Cartoon Network, there's going to be a new movie, Teen Titans Go See Space Jam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style thing where the Teen Titans watch Space Jam. But it looks like they're watching it with the Monstars.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this is going to... Does that mean that Teen Titans Go takes place in Space Jam continuity? I don't know.
I don't know, but this is hilarious. Yeah. So... I remember, you know, when they announced, like, so Teen Titans, I really liked that show. And yeah. Then when they stopped it and decided to go towards the, you know, the ridiculous cartoon route and do Teen Titans Go, I was pissed. I was just like, what are you guys doing? And then, you know, of course, you know, Teen Titans Go continues to be popular, and it's still going on, right? There's no going back. And then I watched their movie, Teen Titans Go to the Movies. It was hilarious. And I think they're best at this type of stuff. They're best when they are self-deprecating, self-referential. They're very meta. Like, that's, I think, when they're at their best. Because I've seen some other clips where they, like, watch, like when Teen Titans Go watched the Teen Titans that they were based on. Yeah. You're like, oh, this is really great. I want to see more of this stuff. Yeah. And it's all the same actors too. Like, it's all the same voice actors, the voice cast. So, like, they're the best people to kind of like riff on themselves, I guess. And so stuff like this is hilarious with them. This is the best way to use them. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. It was one of those things where I never watched the Teen Titans original animated series, and I never watched this either. And I think it was like Clone Wars or something, which was on Cartoon Network. And, you know, like the recording or whatever, you know, on the DVR would go an extra few minutes, and Teen Titans Go was on afterwards. And I'd always see like the first like 2 or 3 minutes of Teen Titans Go. And I'd be like, this is amazing, you know, and I never really watched more of it. And then I saw some, and, you know, like, I used to work with a guy who was younger than me who grew up with, I mean, like, Teen Titans was basically, like, his Batman animated series, you know?
Gotcha.
And, you know, when they switched to Teen Titans Go, he was like, this is ridiculous. This is terrible. Mm. I can't get on board with this. And, like, I remember seeing it and thinking, like, look, I've never seen Teen Titans. I couldn't care less about that show, but I can tell you this is amazing. You know, I love it. And when they did the movie, you know, I was really, really excited about that. Went on opening night, one of like four people in the theater, unfortunately. And in the end, I was disappointed by it. Like, I feel, I feel like doing like a long form story, like, just didn't work. Like, these things work when they're, you know, like 5 minutes long or 10 minutes long and just like really low stakes. But when you make a feature film out of it, it kind of loses momentum. But this seems like a different scenario altogether. And I'm very curious to see how they play this one out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll also be a good refresher for Space Jam before Space Jam 2 comes out.
Well, I mean, refresher. Why do you need to be refreshed on the cinematic classic that is Space Jam?
I mean, I did see it like a year ago. I watched it as a double feature with Double Team when The Last Dance came out.
Double Team.
Yeah, Double Team and Space Jam back to back.
Okay, what about Celtic Pride?
Yeah, no, I wanted because I had just watched The Last Dance, so I wanted to see, like, you know, MJ and okay. Rodman, you know, and, okay. and how each of them, you know, acted and everything. And it's an interesting experiment. Double Team, that movie is super weird. I mean, it's really bad, but it like totally plays off of like he's a basketball player, you know, and like just like one-liners which make no sense, like, you know, offense gets the glory, and then he says, like, but defense wins the game, you know, and stuff like that. It's like, why are you saying that right now? That has nothing to do with what's going on in the scene right now. But okay, whatever. It's a weird movie, but yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, I think I probably don't need a refresher, but this is a good excuse to not watch Space Jam again. So
okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, so Marvel TV has another thing going on, Green Lantern, and they just revealed
DC
that.
TV?
Oh yes, I'm sorry, DC. I said Marvel. It was DC. Yes, they just revealed that the director of the first two episodes is going to be Lee Tolan Krieger, who is a director who's worked on Superman and Lois. So okay. I know that you said that like Superman and Lois is pretty cinematic. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Superman and Lois is fantastic.
So this seems like a good fit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, I'm excited to see it. And speaking of Superman, not that Superman, but another Superman, Henry Cavill has been cast in Highlander from the director of John Wick.
That boy is out of here. Like, he is getting the hell out of Dodge away from Warner Brothers. Did you read his Instagram post where he's basically addressing like, you know, fans trying to, you know, get him to respond to certain things and all this other stuff. He's basically like, look, he's like, I appreciate that I have a fandom, but like, y'all need to move on because I've moved on.
Yeah. I read somewhere someone was like, oh, good. You know, Henry Cavill starting up another franchise, which will fizzle out and die, and then he'll move on to the next one. It's just his thing.
Dang.
Yeah. I mean, I like Highlander. Are you a Highlander fan?
Not really. It's something that I've watched, but I'm not a fan of.
I think I'm more of a fan of it as a concept than I am of the actual thing.
Got it.
But, you know, I think there's something there that you could turn into something great. And getting the director of John Wick, who's great at action, even though he's done, you know, a lot of obviously like gunplay, whatever. Now you get to see him doing sword fighting. That could be cool.
Okay.
And Cavill, I mean, whatever. He's fine. Couldn't care less either way. But, you know, I'm excited to finally see this movie, which they've been trying to make for like 20 years. So
yeah,
that'd be cool. All right. And last but not least, Star Wars: Rangers of the New Republic is currently on the back burner. It is not being developed as a TV show any longer. I have no idea why, but might have something to do with the fact that it was going to star Gina Carano, and
it
was a bad idea, but yeah.
Yeah, and now they could, you know, concentrate their energies in making sure that Obi-Wan is great, and when Mando returns and the Book of Boba Fett, that is great.
And Andor, don't forget about Andor. That's going to be the best of them all. It will be. I'm telling you right now, that'll be the best one.
Okay, I'm holding out hope first. I'm holding out hope for Obi-Wan to take that mantle. But
right. Okay, yeah.
Cool. Have you watched The Bad Batch? Are you caught up on The Bad Batch?
I am. Yeah, I think it's pretty great. Have you seen it?
I have, and I agree. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. I mean, I know that's going to be ending pretty soon. We got Loki starting up in a couple weeks, so that's cool. Well, I mean, I guess Bad Batch will still be on through like August, but yeah, lots of new stuff to watch.
Oh yeah.
All right, so that's about it, Lance. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias, and you can also find me on the United Federation of Podcasts, talking about all the things that make Arrow Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. And you can find me on my website, filmdamagepod.com, doing a show called Film Damage. And yeah, that's about it. So thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.